Oh, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border and I'm Nicholas, and today is our Prophecy Reality Edition. Oh, today, what are we talking about today? I've got a news item that I wanted to talk about, Trump's deal in the Mideast. We'll spend some time talking about that. And then I want to spend a segment carrying on with our definitions of apocalyptic terms. So we're going to talk about when is a beast, and when is it not a beast. And that'll be during our second segment. And for our third our second hour, actually, we're going to continue with the history of apocalyptic interpretation. So you want to stick around for that if you're interested in how the evolution of interpretation of the revelation has occurred. It's a very interesting study if you've been sticking with it so far. You can catch up with it by getting the book yourself. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org. Go to the free ebook tab there, and you can get a free PDF copy to read on your computer, or get the book page there and find a link to our author page at Lulu, and you can buy a copy, paperback or hardcover edition, for your own library there. Okay, now let's jump into our article. And this one is, we got the ultimate deal, the deal of the century, and we have also painful concessions is another term that they're using for this. For Trump's peace plan. As Trump's peace plan, the ultimate deal. And this is from BreakingIsraelNews.com. And this guy says, Tommy Waller, and this is a November 21 article, so this is within last week anyway. I want you to know that I am not Jewish or Israel, he opens the article with. I do not have a home in Israel. I am an American Christian who, for the last 14 years, has worked closely with Israelis who live in Judea and Samaria. I am not anti-Trump. My hope in expressing my views is only to help and not hurt a legitimate peace process. Anyway, there has been a lot of press here in Israel concerning what President Trump has referred to as the ultimate deal, or the deal of the century. These are terms the president has used to describe the current U.S. peace initiative between Israel and the Arabs. Many here in Israel are now waiting for this deal, which we're told would come out after the midterm elections. Most of the Israel-loving community have been excited by the president's pro-Israel stance, and the thought of Trump's version of a peace plan has many believing that the king of deal-making could actually pull it off. After all, look at the work he's already done in building a foundation for a workable plan to finally be established. Jerusalem has been finally taken off the table. The pro-Israel community was and still is exuberant over the embassy move to Jerusalem. There have been many comments by the president that this alone is reason enough to finally seal the deal. Some may not know that there was another deal reported by the Jerusalem Post that suggested Israel give up 4 communities in East Jerusalem in order to establish the Palestinian capital alongside the Israel capital, but that's already taken off the table. So, no, that doesn't make any sense. If the Israel capital is already established, taken off the table, then they don't have to give up anything to get it, you know? Okay, because of this extraordinary move by the president, we have been introduced to the term painful concession. How should we define painful concession? First of all, the president's use of the phrase painful concession has been reported many times in articles and even spoken about in several videos. The phrase has also been used by Jason Greenblatt and Jared Kushner as well. Just last week in London, Jason Greenblatt again, made the statement that Israel will have to compromise. Listen carefully to the president's speech at a rally in West Virginia. You need to know that a painful concession will not mean that communities in Judea and Samaria will lose trash pickup. Painful concession can only mean one thing, a withdrawal from certain communities located in the West Bank or Judea and Samaria. The idea would likely look, on some level, like the model proposed by Haaretz back in August of this year. So the phrase, painful concession, in the ultimate deal would look something like this. If there are 400,000 plus Israels living in Judea and Samaria, then withdrawing and destroying 20 to 10,000, usually you go the other way, don't you? 10 to 20,000 homes in established Jewish communities would seemingly be a great deal. After all, if these homes represent 20 to 40,000 Israels, then 360 to 380,000 Israels would also be able to keep their current homes and life would go on happily ever after. Destroying homes, is that, what does that accomplish? Shouldn't they at least give the homes to the Palestinians rather than destroy them? Or maybe move them? Whatever. Okay. Critical. This guy is obviously a futurist, dispensationalist, or Zionist, the guy writing the article. He's a, what you call an Israeli lover, okay? Now, God calls us to love all people, not just Israelis, or put any people on a special pedestal over other peoples of the earth. You know, if you read through the Gospels, that's a no-no. That's a big mistake these people are making. Israel lost its position as a set-apart nation, church at the end of the 70th week. Of course, these people do not believe that the 70th week actually followed the 69th week. That's a problem with a lot of them. So I'm clarifying my position here also, is that I don't believe that the 70th week is juxtaposed off into the future. They weren't counting down 69 weeks unto Messiah. Then Jesus showed up, and they skipped the 70th week and went immediately to the 71st week, right? I mean, that's the ridiculous story they want you to believe, that the 70th week didn't happen. They skipped that one, went 69, 71, because the 70th was taken and put off in the future. And so Israel's time isn't really up. 70 weeks were not determined, unless you juxtapose one of the weeks and you skip immediately to 71. And how many intermittent weeks have there been in 2,000 years? Well, add it up, do the math, and you'll figure out that the 70th week cannot happen with many thousands of intermittent weeks. The whole idea is just ridiculous and overthrows the prophecy of Scripture. And okay, back to our article here. In the likely plan above, let's look at the communities that would be targeted for destruction. First of all, we saw the Haaretz model. Communities would need to be close to Arab populated areas to enable larger area for the new Palestinian state. Nearly all of these communities have one big issue. They are areas of major religious importance to the Jews, as well as to Bible-believing Christians who are not into replacement theology. Okay, there's that red herring, replacement theology. And I did a whole article on replacement theology. You can look it up on my website at crosstheborder.org. Just put replacement theology in the search box there, and you'll find out how I debunk the whole replacement theology boogeyman. So why would this be a problem? The Israelis give up their rights to the Holy Temple Mount immediately after. Okay, so now we're going to have a little history lesson. That's one thing I liked about this article. At least he dives into the history, and you'll see the problem here. So why would this be a problem? The Israelis gave up their rights to the Holy Temple Mount immediately after it was given to them in the Six-Day War in 1967. And people are going, huh? I didn't know that. But they did. Israel they possessed the Temple Mount in 1967 after the Six-Day War. And immediately they turned around and gave up all rights to it. Why would they not be willing to do the same thing regarding other holy sites? I guess that's their saying, you gave up the Temple Mount, give up everything else. That's their, that's what they're thinking they should be able to get away with. First, I would ask anyone reading this to raise your hand if you believe Israel's victory in the Six-Day War of Assyria, Jordan, Egypt, many times bigger, was a miracle. Well, I'm not sure that it was a miracle, because miracle would be a divine intervention and things that happen that cannot be explained, that would be beyond the laws of physics, okay? Like the sun standing still or something. That would be a miracle. Or the blind man seeing, that would be a miracle. Something that we... No, but what they did happened, and I wouldn't call it a miracle. How did all of these armies lose to, you know, whether it was a miracle or not, I don't know. And he says, I would ask anyone reading this to raise your hand if you believe it was a miracle. Again, you could describe it as miraculous, but whether it was a miracle or not, I'm not sure anything miraculous happened. You know, anything that was supernatural happened. Okay, again, raise your hand if you believe it was a miracle. If you raise your hand twice, as I did, so this guy tells you where he's at, then you will better understand the rest of this article. For all of us dummies out here who didn't raise our hand, well, you may have a hard time understanding this article. Get it? Okay, to begin with, there are many Jews and Christians who believe it was a mistake to give up the Temple Mount after General Mataggar spoke the legendary words, "The Temple Mount is in our hands," and that's the words that he spoke. And I believe, yeah, I think it was a mistake for Israel. You know, I have to say it was a mistake for Israel to give up the Temple Mount. Yeah. I mean, if they really wanted to rebuild their temple there, it was a mistake for them to give it up. And though I, you know, a lot of people say, well, if you're siding with Israel and you're supporting them and building a temple so they can continue the animal sacrifice, then, you know, that's an abomination to God. I believe that. I really do. Yeah. I believe that the abomination that maketh desolate was exactly that. After Jesus was crucified and died and then rose again from the dead, but he said it was finished, and there was a great earthquake, and the veil in the temple was torn in half because he put an end to the sacrifice and oblation in the midst of the week by the sacrifice of himself. That was the event. That was in the midst of the week, the 70th week, the actual 70th week that followed the 69th week. See, I believe that. And when they repaired the veil in the temple, and then they reinstituted the sacrifice after that event, that was the abomination that maketh desolate standing in the holy place, because their standing practice was reinstituted. The sacrifice, which was no longer proper, which was now an abomination, because before that it was commanded. Once Christ sacrificed himself, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, and God signified it by that great earthquake and the tearing of the veil in the temple, and he actually put the temple sacrifice service out of business. And he did it by the sacrifice of his own son. Jesus put an end to the sacrifice and oblation by offering himself up, the only permanent sacrifice once forever, in the midst of the week. So you had the 70 weeks prophecy separated in three parts. You had the 7 weeks, and there it is. 70 weeks are determined. Know for therefore and understand. And after the 62 weeks, the 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. There shall be 7 weeks. That's four, seven sevens, and then 62 weeks. That's, you add those together and you get the 69 weeks. So after the 62 weeks, or the 69 weeks, when you add them all up, the Messiah shall be cut off. But when it talks about he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, well, the 1 week, of course, is the 70th week itself. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Okay? And it did. He caused it to cease in the midst of the week. Back. The legendary words were spoken. The temple mount is in our hands. And our author writes again, did God give it up just to be handed back? Did God give it just to be handed back? Obviously. Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened. For whatever reason, we're just going to leave it at that. The Islamic waqf controls the Temple Mount. For whatever reason, at some level, yeah, we're not going to. Along with the concession made over the Temple Mount, the Sinai Peninsula and Gaza were also eventually given up. After the Six-Day War, Judea Samaria, along with the Golden Heights, were looked at as significantly important to the security of Israel, obviously giving those who hate you the high ground overlooking your most populated area would not make any sense, but many Jews began resettling the mountains of Israel because they heard the call to return. When these brave Jews return, and he just doesn't tell us why they gave up their control over the Temple Mount. So we get back down to what his article is really about. The 10 to 20 or 40,000 Israelites who will be asked to make the painful concession will be joined by hundreds of thousands more who stand with their brothers and sisters because they believe God's word and promises are irrevocable. This will take and initiate a civil war in Israel that will compromise its very existence. I'm not trying to be contentious or to make trouble for the president. The Jews are not holding this position because of anything I say or write. Okay, so he doesn't really talk about the Temple Mount and why should the Jews, and that's what I was hoping we get to the meat of, and really this is kind of a propaganda piece because he ends it here saying, if you are a Christian who sincerely stands with Israel, if you're a John Hagee, Zionist futurist, in other words, which is the position of most people, then unlike what the church did in 1938, we'll say not on our watch, he says. But anyway, the whole question is never answered here. And so I'm going to ask the question, why should Israel, what will Israel be making painful concessions for? They already have what they want. It's the Palestinians who want something. So what are the Palestinians going to give up for these painful concessions? Well, seems pretty much like an empty peace deal to me. That's all I can say. Unless the Palestinians are going to give up what, and I can only think of one thing that the Palestinians will give up, and that is place on the Temple Mount or the Temple Mount itself. Yeah. Other than that, there is no peace deal. Because there's no reason for Israel to make painful concessions. They already have the homes that they already have the area. They already possess it. Yeah. So we'll have to keep our eye on this. This is supposed to be revealed. This ultimate deal is supposed to be revealed. So we'll see what this article is not telling us. I believe in the coming month here. Supposed to be sometime in the first couple weeks of December, we'll learn the answer to it. So we shall see. Now, personally, I'm not a Zionist or a futurist. I have no more love for the nation of Israel than I do for the nation of Zimbabwe, honestly speaking, or Canada or anyone else. You know, I love God's people everywhere, and I want the elect of God in all nations to come to the knowledge, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and to join him in his kingdom. That's what I desire from all nations everywhere. The well, I call it supranational Israel. That's what the church is. The true church of Jesus Christ, made up of all the elect, are the supranational Israel of God. Okay, so this is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And when we get back, we're going to talk about when is a beast, and when is a beast not a beast. What does that even mean? Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.